I've not been in the work just quite as long as Brother Jim Webb, but I must agree with him, it does age you. Because everywhere I go nowadays, people keep asking me if I'm a pensioner. And I must confess, I have at least 7 or 8 years to go. So I don't know, I think it must age you. And I do remember, not very long ago, down in Los Angeles with Brother Dr. Bell down there, we went out for a meal, and the lady at the counter, she gave 2 pensioners and 1 ordinary. And it turned out that Brother Bell and myself, we were the pensioners, and his wife, who was older than the pair of us, she got the ordinary one. So I don't know. It must hate you. But don't let it stop you. If you're an exercise for the work of God, don't let it stop anybody going into the work of God. The Lord's coming, the change is going to take place. And that's a blessed thing. The book of the Revelation, please, in chapter 21. Now, according to my clock, it's about 3 minutes slower than the one on the platform. I think they must have put this one here a little bit fast to make sure that we finish for around about 5 o'clock. But I'm going to work off mine and not theirs. The book of the Revelation, chapter 21, please, and verse 9. There came unto me one of the 7 angels, which had the 7 vials full of the 7 last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like unto a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And onward through the verses, down to verse 21, you have a description of what that city is going to be like. From verse 22 on into chapter 22, you discover a few things that are not going to be associated with that city. In verse 22, there's going to be no temple there. Again, in verse 23, there's going to be no external light. When you go down to verse a little later, there's no shut gate. I notice there's no night. There's no defilement. There's no curse. There's no light. And from verse 22, it begins to tell you a few things that won't be there. What I want to do for a little while this evening, or this afternoon, is just to give you a few things that are going to be there. I want to warm our hearts, child of God, as we come towards the end of the conference, with a blessed prospect that is before us, as we're going to share with our Lord Jesus in his coming glories. For in the vision that we have, or part of the vision that we have read, from verse 9 of the book of the Revelation and chapter 21, we have a picture brought before us of how the saints are going to be through millennial days and going on into the eternal state. This is the fourth vision of John's book of Revelation. For John's book is made up of 4 visions. And this is the 4th vision. The 3rd vision ended with a scene of the eternal state. In chapter 21, verses 1 to 8, you have the eternal state brought before you. But when you come down to verse 9, he is taking us back in the last vision that he has. He's taking us back, I believe, to the beginning of the millennial kingdom. And what he's got before us is a figure and a picture of the bride. In verse 9, you'll notice the expression, when one of the 7 angels that had the 7 vials full of the 7 last plagues talked with me, saying, Come hither, I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. What John is going to see from this moment onward is the bride. Now, child of God, you're the bride. I'm the bride. The bride, of course, are the saints of God of this dispensation. From Pentecost until the rapture, every believer are making up the bride of our Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 9 establishes once and for all that what he's seeing is seeing the saints of God in their future glory. It's interesting that when he sees the saints in verse 9, or he's told that he will see the saints, when you look down to verse 10, he doesn't see them as a bride. In verse 10, he sees them as a city. You'll notice in verse 10, he carried me away in the spirit. That expression, by the way, in the spirit, occurs four times and brings you the four visions of the book of the Revelation. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. Now I want you to note, please, as we look at it, child of God, he doesn't say he'll show you the dwelling place of the bride in verse 9. In verse 9, he just simply tells you he's going to show you the bride. But when he sees the bride in verse 10, he doesn't see it as a bride. He sees the bride as a city. The city is not our dwelling place. The city, child of God, as far as I'm concerned, is you. The city is me. They're two different figures for the same thing. Just as there are many figures now for the saints of God. You remember how that we're seen as a temple in this present day. We're seen as a church and so on. We're seen as a body. So here in this future day, there are two figures that are brought before us. One a bride, one a city. The bride, that's what we are to Christ. In deep affection to God's beloved Son. But when he sees us as a city, that's what we are in connection with the world. The center of divine administration for this world. The saints of God, child of God, of this day and dispensation, the day is going to dawn when you and I are going to govern the world. You remember the lovely expression that if you suffer with him, you'll also reign with him. You remember words like in the book of Romans in chapter 8. Because you're sons, he has made you heirs, joint heirs with our Lord Jesus Christ. And child of God, the book of Corinthians in chapter 6. What? Know ye not, the saints shall judge the world? Really, all it means is that we're going to govern the world. The world is going to come under our administration. It's going to come under our rule. And in the book of the Revelation, chapter 21, he's going to give you a picture of the saints of God as they come with our Lord Jesus Christ to take up their place of government as far as this world is concerned. So here he's seen as number one in affection to the Lord Jesus. He's seen as number two in our administration as far as the government of this world is concerned. The kings and despots of earth are going to step aside. And child of God, you are going to take up the reins of government for this world in a day yet future. That day may not be very far away. As we said on the opening day, when the Lord Jesus gives us our crowns at that judgment seat, it is with a view to the future government and rule and the place that we'll have in the world in the day to come. Well, let's take a look, please, at this lovely city. The first thing I notice about it says in verse 11, having the glory of God. We're going to see that here are lovely pictures as God describes how the saints of God are going to be in a day to come. Child of God, the first thing that's going to mark us is suitability for the divine dwelling. When John sees the bride coming forth, and you'll notice, please, it says, he sees it descending out of heaven from God. It's the saints of God coming back with our Lord Jesus Christ. As the blessed Son of God comes forth to take up his great reign in that millennial kingdom, he is not leaving the saints of God behind. He is going to bring them with him. They're going to share with him in all that glorious reign of his in a day to come. And John sees them coming down, the saints of God displayed in affection to Christ, but now to rule the world. And the first thing that marks us, says John, they have the glory of God. I want to tell you, when we come forth to reign, child of God, divine suitability will mark us. The saints of God will be suitable for this mighty work that God has put upon them. The glory of God is going to be all about us. I love what the book of Ephesians chapter 3 says in the last verse, when it tells us that to God is going to be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And when the saints of God come forth, child of God, the glory of God is going to be seen in the saints. This world is going to be full of His glory, and it's going to be displayed in the believers in that future day. Notice, again, not only having the glory of God, but it says her stone was like unto a stone most precious, even like unto a jasper stone, clear as crystal. If the glory of God would show that suitability will mark us, this expression, child of God, shows that purity will mark us. The jasper stone, clear as crystal. No fault, no failure. The purity that God has decreed is going to be upon the saints, when sin will have been done with forever, and never again will raise its ugly head. And when the saints of God are displayed, we'll not only be there displaying the glory of deity, but, child of God, absolute purity will be all about us as we come forth with our Lord Jesus Christ. I can't stay too long with these things. Notice an expression. And had a wall, great and high. If the glory of God would bring before us the fact of our suitability, the fact that it's a holy city, clear as crystal, would remind us of our purity. Here I take it, child of God, the wall would bring before us the idea of our eternal security. Well, that's what the wall was for, wasn't it? Cities were built with walls, to keep out the invading foe, the marauding animal. It was a place of security. Oh, I bless God for this gospel. And I thank God from the day of my salvation I have never doubted the eternal security of the believer. When I bowed my knees 7:02 one Saturday morning and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, I remember walking outside the door of the home and looking up to the skies and knowing that if the Lord came, I was saved. And knowing, child of God, that whatever happened, from that moment onwards, eternal glory was going to be my blessed portion. The Lord Jesus was my Saviour. He that began the work we started these meetings with, He'll complete it. Child of God, we cannot fail. And in the day to come, God is going to display to wondering worlds the eternal security that marks the saints of God. Suitability for deity. Purity is going to mark us. Eternal security is going to be all about us. Well, then it says, it had a wall, great and high, and had 12 gates. Now, if a wall would remind us of security, and tell us of the eternal security of the believer, the gates, child of God, in Scripture, they would speak of authority. Authority. They were the places where administration of communities were carried out. You remember, won't you? But Lot sat in the gate at Sodom. Sad place for a believer to be. Linked with the administration of this world. I love what it says about Abraham. It says of Abraham, he sat in the tent door. Do you know what he was doing? If the gate, child of God, was the place of administration and the place of authority, Abraham was seeing that he was watching over his home. He preserved his. Lot thought he could preserve Sodom and Gomorrah from all its sins by sitting in authority there. And whilst he was doing it, he lost his family. You men be careful. I was speaking with some folks over one of the meals yesterday, reminding them of something I heard a long time ago. The only thing you'll ever take with you into eternity is your children. And a sad thing to lose your children. Watch them burn in Sodom because of your carelessness and indifference to the claims of God linked to the world. My brother said today perhaps there'd be a word in the gospel. I want a word in the gospel to parents today. A lot of you parents may be losing your children with your carelessness.
And you'll never take them with you into the glory. Hold on to your children. Live for God for your children. And if you're going to do anything, please, be like Abraham. And see to it you watch over the gate of your home and administer that for God. That you might bring your children with you into eternal splendor. Don't lose your children. Don't be careless with your children. Ah, but here, that's only just rising out of the fact that those gates, child of God, those gates that would remind us of the fact that the saints of God, they are going to take the governmental dealings of this world into their hands in a day to come. The very fact that there are 12 is the number of governmental dealings. You'll notice these gates. It says on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates. You'll notice, please, that if these gates are seen, they're seen in absolute equality in connection with every side of the city. Why? Child of God, in a future day, whenever there's going to be government, I want to tell you that it's going to be perfect government. There'll be no third world countries in that future day when the saints of God govern this world. Men today, in the way that they govern, it suits them to keep these countries down. But the day is going to dawn when there's going to be a perfect administration as far as the world is concerned. Absolute equality in government in a future day. But it's only when the saints of God of this dispensation, coming down with our Lord Jesus Christ, displayed with the Son of God, the glory of God all about us, absolute purity, the eternal security of God marking us, and governmental authority there, and child of God, perfect government for the whole world, from the saints of God, in a day yet future. Will you notice, please, that those gates in verse 21, they're made out of pearls. It says verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. Oh, I love that. But I know how pearls come into being. Well, at least I think I do. The scientists and these bodies that know all about them, they tell me that pearl came into being because of a little grain of sand or something foreign to it got inside and the oyster, it started to mold and it started to cover. Because of the pain and the stress that it was passing through. And out of that pain and out of that stress came a lovely pearl. Child of God, the book of Acts is it, if you suffer with him, you'll reign with him. All the necessity of present suffering to form the pearl that's going to form the gate, the place where administration is going to be carried out from. Bless God. The saints of God are coming forth to rule. There's going to be a perfect rule, a perfect administration for the whole world and its four corners when the saints of God come forth, and that present sufferings are going to help and lead in the government of that future day. That's an interesting thing. For it tells me at these gates there are 12 angels. Angels? What are they doing at the gates? Well, I look to the book of Ephesians, and chapter 1, I see a lovely millennial seed in verse 10, when it tells us that in that dispensation of the fullness of time, the millennial kingdom, heaven and earth, is going to be united in Christ. I hear the words again of our Lord Jesus in the book of John and chapter 1, when speaking to Nathanael, hereafter you'll see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending. They ascend, child of God, before they descend, because you see, they're here. They're linked with the center of government, which will be here in this world. In a day to come, they're ascending and descending. Heaven and earth are going to be linked. Angels are going to be linked. But they're going to be linked with the gates that represent the saints of this day, administering the world in government for God. Do you know where they are today? Those angels are before the throne. Do you know why they're before the throne? Child of God, they stand there in readiness to serve. And the will of God, as they speak to the angels before the throne, they move to do his bidding. You see where they are here? They're standing before the saints of God in readiness to serve. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Can I take you back to the book of Corinthians? Not only are we going to judge the world, child of God, but says the Lord Jesus, you'll judge angels. That's not bad angels, you know. It simply means that angels are going to come under our authority. They're going to come under our rule. They're going to come under our government. They're going to do our bidding. Will you see something of the dignity of the calling that God has brought you to? Oh, you may be linked with a rejected man now. You may be linked with a man that is despised and cast out, and the world might cast you out, but there's a day when his glory is coming, and child of God, you're going to share with him in that glory. And not only is the world that now rejects you going to come under your administrative rule, but the very angels themselves, they're going to come under your authority and going to come under your judgment. If the Bible might tell me in Psalm 103 and again in the book of Peter that angels are greater in power and might than we, you remember the book of Ephesians in chapter 1, when God would want us to know the power that's been demonstrated toward us, a power that has taken my blessed Lord up far above angels and sat them down above every principality and power. Do you know where I am today? Where you are? You're linked with that man on the throne above principalities and powers, and we that in our order were created lower than they, now in Christ have been made higher than they. And child of God, there's coming a day when angels are going to come under our government. Will you see this lovely picture? God wants you to get a glimpse of the glory that is going to be displayed in the day to come when the saints of God will rule the world. Well, let's look on, please. But I notice in verse 14, not our purity, not our suitability, not our security, not our authority. But when you come down to verse 14, he speaks about the city, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And in them, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, child of God, a foundation, that's stability. You know, they used to sing a hymn, "We shall not be moved." Bless God for the stability that will mark the saints of God throughout the coming eternal days. But I want to tell you, what begins in the millennial kingdom in verse 9 is going to go on through the eternal state. Verses 1 to 8 make that very, very clear. Here in verse 9 onwards, we're seeing the beginning of our reign. When you go to the opening verses of chapter 21, which I say again are the end of the third vision, that's why it can take you into the eternal state. Child of God, it shows the saints of God are going to go on governing even through the eternal state. We shall be the center of government throughout the eternal state. And let me tell you, it's a government that will never be shaken. If a dear brother was reminding us of the iron curtain that fell, and a brother praying that the bamboo curtain might fall, here's a government that is going to stand throughout eternal days. God has taken you out of the world. God has linked you with Christ. And God has decreed that the future government of this world is going to come under your authority and my authority. Child of God, there is a glorious day coming. Look at verse 16, please. For in verse 16, I notice now not stability, but I notice uniformity. See verse 16, the city lieth four square. The length, the breadth, the height of the city, they're equal. We haven't time to go into all the details. But a lovely thing I'd love to spend with you here. But just enough to know this. I bless God that in that day, the great truth of the ministry that God has given to the church, the book of Ephesians chapter 4, will be brought into fruition till we all come to the unity of the faith. Child of God, gift does make distinctions. I suppose place makes distinctions. When I was a young fellow, I used to look at these mighty teachers. I wished I could be a mighty teacher. I still keep wishing, let me tell you. I used to think they were unique people. I didn't realize there was just one with the saints. That their ministry was to bring me to the place where they were. As our ministry is to bring you to the same place, child of God. In that glorious day. See that dear sister that may have been despised, that young man that didn't seem to have a great and mighty gift, that he had his vital place within the ministry and work of God, and in that day we'll all be seen, and let me tell you, the length, the breadth, the height of it, absolutely equal. We've all come. The work has been complete, and uniformity will mark us. I've only 2 minutes. Oh no, I said I'm looking at my watch, not theirs. I've got 3 minutes. That's right. They nearly tricked me, you see. 2 minutes. Let's go back. Come down, please. I notice, child of God, not only our suitability, our purity, our security, our authority, our stability. Here, again, our uniformity. Will you notice, please, there's also individuality. For the foundations, verse 19, of the wall of the city are garnished with all manner of precious stones. And he goes through those precious stones. Do you remember the precious stones on the shoulders of the high priest? Do you remember the precious stones upon the breast of the high priest? All representing Israel. I notice here they're all there the same. No difference. But when it comes to the mighty power of the Christ of God upholding me, I want to tell you, child of God, he'll hold me with exactly the same power as he'll ever hold the mightiest saint, be it Paul or Peter. It doesn't make any difference to any one of us. Ah, but you look at them here, please. They're all different. Because when he's going to put me on his heart, he's going to put me there as to what I am and who I am. And we're all different. And here I notice these stones are all different. Individuality. You're still going to be you, you know, throughout eternity. And I'm going to be me. But don't worry about it, because I am going to be changed. So it won't be too bad, you see, in that day. I'll just bear the features and image of our Lord Jesus Christ. But child of God, we're still going to be ourselves. Will you notice? They're all precious stones. Every one of them. I wouldn't have minded any one of those stones on the breastplate of the priest, you know. I think they would have made me a wealthy man. You see these stones once hidden in the earth, covered with dirt, trampled on by man. That's what you were before God saved you. But he saw you. He plucked you out of it all. The divine alchemist now has finished the work and he's set you. And here you are, displayed for his glory. For wondering worlds to see the grace of God that's been wrought in you. As God has wrought a mighty work to further himself in your life. Then look, just one last thing. I think I can take about half a minute. When you come down to verse 21. He doesn't talk now of the gate and the wall and the foundations and the four square. And the stones. He talked about the street. There's only one street, you know. Some brethren that follow Mr. Larkin and others, they'd make this a literal city. Strange thing. How they can make the bride a literal city, I don't know. If it had said it had been the dwelling place of the bride, I could have understood them. But sometimes they read things into the book that's not there, you know. But they're welcome to their opinions. I'll just stick with what's here. And see, there's a lovely picture of the saints in a day to come. How they're going to get one street to 12 gates, I don't know. It is a little city. And if this city that they tell me with its tremendous length and breadth and height is going to hover over the earth, as Mr. Darby would try and tell us, giving us a strange interpretation of the book of chapter 5 and verse 10, all I can see, the biggest umbrella that ever touched the earth, I don't know. But what I do know is, child of God, there's one street. You know what a street is? That's unity. And the last thing that's going to mark the saints of God is unity. No Baptist there, you know. No Methodists there. No Church of England there. No Presbyterians there. No Brethren with a big B there. Whoever they might be. Just saints there, that's all. And they that began together. Acts chapter 2. They're going to end together. The book of Revelation and also the book of Thessalonians chapter 4 caught up together, and bless God, unity is going to mark us throughout the ages of eternity. Child of God, you're going to govern the world. You're coming back with Christ, and you're going to be there for the glory of God, and this world is going to come under divine government. But it's going to come there under your hand, and you'll be seen in all your preciousness, moving in unity with all them that believe the Lord Jesus.